Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday the 7th of November, recording at 9:10 p.m. And that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first a quick look at the highlights here today. The Asian stock markets were mostly a little bit lower, not a great deal going on. European stock markets were mostly also a little bit lower, and concern over the Italian debt situation, I think, was the main factor. More on that in a moment. In the Americas, quite interesting, because we had quite a turnaround on Wall Street, which was down around 1%, I think, at least, or more. In the pre-market activity and in the early market activity, definitely in the pre-market activity, is down over 1%. Then it sort of seesawed a little bit, but mostly in the minus column before, in the last hour, putting on some gains and closing near the high of the day. So we had in terms of the S&P future, for instance, we had a 25-point spread here between the low that we saw this morning and the close. And, well, it's actually still trading, but the December futures contract is for the S&P is trading at 12.58. So good strong rebound to close up on the day. Long-dated government bond prices were a little bit firmer, although the U.S. Treasuries were almost a point. Long-dated 30-year Treasury futures were almost a full point off their high as Wall Street rallied. But these markets remain steady generally. And precious metals. Well, what a romp here by gold. It's currently trading at $1,796 and change, so up over $40 on the day. Platinum, good gains, up $31. Palladium, solid performance here. Silver, up 86 cents to $34.95. So a strong performance. Now, interestingly, gold was strong early on, and so it was not catching any contagion from the modest sell-off that we saw in the European stock markets and in the Asian stock markets, or, well, Wall Street was on the downside. You never know exactly what the influence are going to be, but all last week, for instance, gold, it's almost as if it was programmed, and maybe it was, to move in lockstep with Wall Street, and every little flutter that Wall Street took, gold prices moved in line with it. Now, elsewhere, let's see, crude oil, very strong here on the Brent, up to nearly $115. And the WTI is at 96.01 as I speak. That's up 175. A dollar is quiet in here, maybe a fraction steadier overall. Agricultural commodities and industrial metals mostly mixed. Okay. So what's going on here overall? Well, the European situation is still hogging the headlines and therefore dominating investor sentiment overall. And you can't pick up a headline that isn't dealing with this. And everybody's discussing it. Now, I've often made the point that a crisis has to be seen to be getting worse to go on having a major negative effect on stock markets. It could be argued that this is no ordinary crisis. This really is a big one, should it get out of control. But equally, if it doesn't get out of control, and an ECB official here today, guy named Jürgen Stark, I think he's German with that name, but I'm not 100% sure on that. But he said that the debt situation could be brought under control within 2 years. I'm sure that that doesn't mean that that the debts would be significantly reduced by that time period, but that the ECB, along with the various heads of state, could put in the measures that were required to control the situation. I guess that's what he actually meant. And that's what was given some credit for Wall Street's firm close. But whether that was a big factor or not, there's no doubt that the corporate profits news has been extremely good. And that's really what the stock market is all about. So people are talking about these economies all the time. And the corporate side of the US is doing splendidly, particularly the autonomies, which is my moniker for these world-class multinational companies that grow ever more powerful in the global economy. Okay. So, how's this going to play out now? We've got an important vote in Italy tomorrow, and I mentioned in my introduction that we saw a weakness in the European stock markets because those Italian bonds pushed through to new highs. And so that spread between the Italian bond and the German bunds widened even further. I think it's went to as high a level as we've seen since the pre-Euro days. Now, part of the concern or part of the reason for that, I think, is very much the political situation in Italy. It's going to be a confidence vote tomorrow, and I think the general consensus is, at least part of some of the Italians that I talk to, is that they need to get rid of Berlusconi. He's clinging on, and he's been there for a long time, hasn't he? So we need to see if mild version of the, let's call it the Italian Spring, pushes Berlusconi aside. I think that would probably be a positive in terms of enabling those Italian bond yields to come down and for markets to, European stock markets to extend their rallies that commenced last month. So interesting here. My feeling is that Italy can, as I've said in these many of these broadcasts, that my feeling really is that Italy can contend with its debt. But it's not just my hopes, but I was impressed by that Bank d'Italia report, and also the fact that there are other countries in worse debt problems than Italy. And I would say arguably the USA and certainly the UK. But Italy's problem is it hasn't got the growth, and that's what it really needs. So, excuse me. If I take a long-term view on all this, I really feel that this debt crisis can be resolved, as is the case with all debt crises. Particularly for a sophisticated developed region such as Europe. We don't hear about what is going right. Well, I was very interested to see, for instance, while reading the Sunday Times yesterday, So a quarter page ad and a Spanish company that I confess to not having heard of previously, but it's got a 15 year contract to build high speed rail networks in Saudi Arabia and to service them. I didn't even know that Spain built high speed railways. But my point is that there's plenty of technology and expertise and manufacturing, m much in the way of manufacturing skills within Europe. And okay, most of it's in Germany, but clearly not all of it is in Germany. And if we go back to Italy for a moment, they produce some very sophisticated engineering of their own, and then of course they produce all these wonderful designs that the growth economies are hoovering up, these luxury goods. So my feeling is that it would be premature to write off Europe. We know what Europe's problem was. They went on a big spending binge, and they've had too much socialism. I mean, we can have all these wonderful safety nets, but you've got to be able to pay for them. And to pay for them, you've got to have the earnings. And if you don't have the earnings, all those entitlements are going to become an absolutely massive liability. And in a way, all those entitlements probably create that risk or increase that risk because they undermine the work ethic to no small degree. So why should people be retiring, around 60, and in Greece it was even earlier, from public sector jobs? It's ridiculous. So I think the reality check that Europe's undergoing will be sufficiently frightening so that both the population and the politicians will realize that they do have to rein in their unions, that they do have to rein in the entitlements, that they do have to increase incentives and not always overtax people, and they've got to generate the additional growth. And Europe's done that in the past, so I wouldn't write off its chances of doing it again in the future. Meanwhile, they've still got plenty of debt problems to contend with. Now, what about this gold? Excellent action. It is overextended relative to the MA once again, having become very overextended in August at the August and September highs, as overextended as we've seen throughout the last decade. Then we got the mean reversion right straight back to the 200-day moving average, a quick bounce, and the rest you know. And gold has now recovered almost three quarters of its decline from the August and September highs. Now it's a bit overextended here, as I just mentioned, relative to that MA once again. But we'd need a clear downward dynamic to check the momentum. The best thing that gold could probably do would be to stabilize above the $1,800 level and go into a trading range consolidation, just move sideways for a while, and then take out the old highs. But the moving sideways for a while would correct the or narrow the overextension relative to the MA. The outside risk is that, like silver a couple of months ago, gold could get another downward dynamic beneath its August and September highs and come back and retest support. Now, I'm not going to try to prejudge this. I'll just say the technical action's been very good. It's a little overbought here right now, a little overextended, as I'm now mentioning for the third time here. But overall, the action is very positive, and it isn't as if gold doesn't have a good story. It has a very good story, clearly. So I think the only concern here is for traders, Those who hold bullion as or positions in bullion funds, as do so many of you, I don't think you have to worry all that much. And I have been saying that gold would close higher at the end of the year, and I s continue to expect a new all-time high in U.S. dollars before the end of the first quarter, if not sooner. And that forecast assumes that we also have reasonably steady stock markets, and I think that's not all that bad a bet at this stage. What about this phenomenally strong U.S. stock market performance? Well, first the autonomies. They're certainly leading it. Very attractive story there. The valuations are quite attractive. American companies are increasing dividends, and that's very good news. You know, we can all remember the days when some of these sleazy CEOs at the time, backed by some either sleazy or naive analysts, would say that dividends are an inefficient use of capital. I'll try telling that to the person who's receiving the income. So that equity story is I think more than reasonably attractive. Monetary conditions also remain a tailwind. Stock markets like record low interest rates, and Bernanke's printing plenty of money as well. So is Japan. The ECB, I think they're heading in that direction if they're not already doing it. So there's plenty of liquidity sloshing around, and the autonomy story is a good one. Interesting day. I'm also keen to see what happens with the Italian politics tomorrow, and a successful resolution of that could extend the rally. And on that note, folks, all the best.